Gracious and holy God, we are in the time between when you first appeared and when you will come again. So speak to us now, those of us who have not seen and yet have come to believe. And speak to those of us who are struggling to believe, and speak to those of us who do not believe. Speak to us, Lord. Amen. Here we are, the second Sunday of Easter, and you know what Sunday it is. It's Doubting Thomas Sunday. Poor Thomas. Doesn't he get a bad rap? The doubter. Do you know of anybody else in the biblical witness that's known by that name, the doubter? I mean, it just seems to me to be a little bit unfair. You know that Peter isn't called denying three times Peter. And Mary isn't called seven demon Mary, right? But Thomas, doubting Thomas, he will forever be known, even though the Bible calls him the twin, Didymus, Thomas the twin. The twin never actually shows up. We don't know anything about his twin. We do know that he was one. That is one little bit of information that we have about Thomas. He only shows up a few more times in the gospel message. One is at the raising of Lazarus, when the disciples don't want Jesus to go to Jerusalem because the word has gotten out and there are people who are conspiring against him. And Thomas says, "Let us go to Jerusalem so that we may die with him." Doesn't sound like doubting Thomas to me. Sounds like courageous Thomas or brave Thomas or impetuous Thomas. But in this story, the story where he has the most to say, he is the one who doubts. And he says it, "I will not believe." And so, I wonder, this story takes place a week later, a week after Easter. So Jesus appears on Easter evening and all the disciples are there except Thomas. We don't really know why Thomas isn't there. We know that they are afraid, that they are worried, that they are full of doubt and deep joy. And Jesus appears. As we look back at this story, we hear the Easter story and the Eastertide stories, as we've heard it many times before, as something that happened once. And that is the foundational truth of our belief. So we look back and we allow the story to envelop us once again. But it seems to me that Thomas's reputation has stayed in that place of Easter evening and not focused on where he was even a week later. Isn't it true, though, that what's happened in the past is sometimes got a greater hold on us than what is happening right now? Perhaps you've received one of these emails. I got it the other day, and it was one of those things called old school. I think my mom sent it to me. She sends me a lot of stuff. And perhaps you've received some of this. Not that I don't mind all the stuff she sends, but this one was funny. She says, this email says, "When I was a kid, we didn't have the internet. When we wanted to know something, we had to go to the library and look it up ourselves in the card catalog. There was no email. We actually had to write somebody a letter with a pen, not with our thumbs. Then you had to walk all the way across the street and put it in the mailbox, and it would take a week to get there. There were no MP3s or iTunes. If you wanted to steal music, you had to hitchhike to the record store and shoplift it yourself. Or you had to wait around all day till it came on the radio and then tape it. And the DJ would usually talk over the beginning and mess it up. There were no CD players. We had tape decks in our car. We'd play our favorite tape and eject it when it was finished. And then tape would come undone and you had to wind it up with your little finger because that's how we rolled. We didn't have fancy things like call waiting. If you were on the phone, you got a busy signal. Where somebody else called, And you didn't know who it was when somebody called. It could be your parents, your boss. You didn't even know. You had to pick it up and take your chances. You had to use a little book called the TV Guide to find out what was on television. You had to get up and walk over to the TV to change the channel. We didn't have microwaves. We wanted to heat something up. We had to use the stove, and it took longer. We didn't have PlayStation or Xbox or any of these. We had games like Space Invaders, or we had other games where you actually had to use your imagination. There were no multiple levels. It just was one screen or one game forever, and you could never win. Just like life. That's how the email went. So after I read that and thought, well, there's some truth there that some things were a lot more fun, some things were terrible. Someone once said that you should use your past like a rearview mirror on your car. It's helpful and essential to drive, but you don't keep your eyes on it, or else you would have a wreck. Remembering what was is powerful. It's essential. Holding on to it, of course, is another thing. And so, personally, I like my remote, I like the Bluetooth, I like the microwave. And I cherish fond memories of all that was, but I don't, or try not to, live in the past. This season, as we hear these stories of the resurrection and the appearances of Jesus appearing over and over again after the resurrection, it's called Eastertide, the great 50 days, and that's what we are in this season. It is important to note that these next six weeks now are called the Sundays of Easter, not the Sundays after Easter. And the Sunday that is 50 days beyond Easter is Pentecost, right? 50 days after that. So this season in its entirety is one of joyful faith and confident hope. That's what I said, and that's what I read in my devotion. This entire season. And yet here we are, starting off this season of Eastertide with Thomas. So what I want to explore just for a moment is what happens to Thomas. We don't really know. But I'm intrigued when the gospel story says, a week later. Well, that's where we are right now. We are a week after Easter. A week later, what has happened? Can you even remember the entirety of this week? A lifetime can happen in a week. Thomas is a week later, and this time he is with the disciples in the room. Jesus comes. He appears, and he says, peace be with you again. And then he says directly to Thomas, put your finger here, reach out your hand, do not doubt. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God, which is an extraordinary statement of faith for anyone to make. I don't hear that Jesus chastises Thomas for doubting. I think it's a comment that the writer of John's Gospel puts in there too, in what Jesus says, to invite us all into that week in between. Jesus says, have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. That is us, my friends. This week in between, what happened to Thomas? What happens to us? You know, you do know that none of the rest of the disciples, even on that Easter evening, believed until they saw Jesus, right? In John's Gospel, Mary comes and says, they had left the empty tomb. Mary comes and says, I have seen the Lord, and they don't believe her. They run back and look at the empty tomb, but it's not until Jesus appears and they see him that they believe. We don't call Mary doubting Mary. Right? We don't call the disciples doubting disciples. But something happened in that week in between. What is certain in that week in between is that we are to live in this space between seeing and stating, right? Is Easter, after all, so certain for us in this day and age, when the news of death and destruction and mayhem and discord is so prevalent, that even though it's only been a week, we say, oh, are we back to business as usual in the country? Isn't there any Easter message that can transport us into a new age of believing? What is certain in this time and in what happens in that week is that Thomas comes again to the room. Thomas comes. Thomas is there, gathered in fellowship with the disciples. And then when Jesus is there, what is certain is that Jesus finds us and invites us to see and to touch and to believe. It seems to me that grace is extended to all of us, whether we have believed or not. The empty tomb of Easter is enough to get us started. But it's not where we stay, right? We don't even know where the tomb exactly is. It was a moment that we are meant to look upon and to believe what it stands for, what it means, but not to stay at that place of emptiness. There are weeks in between Peter's declaration of faith in Christ and his sermon to Cornelius in Acts weeks later. It takes the disciples some time to get up to speed, to start to begin to preach the good news of Jesus' resurrection. Here, a week later, this week in between, they have still been hiding. The day-to-day walk of discipleship takes time. I hear many times from folks and from preachers and from retired pastors about how things used to be in the church, right? Communion was four times a year. Then came the 70s, the ecumenical movement. We had different liturgy. We had intinction. People don't like it. Some people love it. Some people want to hear what they've heard before. We want to sing the old hymns. John's gospel brings us back to the beginning at the end of his gospel. He says, "These are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." At the very beginning of his gospel, he says, "What is in the light was life, and the power to become children of God." T.S. Eliot writes that in the beginning is my end, and the end is my beginning. We have come full circle in John's gospel, which casts us into another phase of our faith journey. Nothing will go back to the place and the same thing that it always was. The disciples who traveled with Jesus will now travel without him and go to places that they never dreamed. And they will receive a new spirit, and they will tell the story of the Messiah, the promised one who redeemed Israel, not in the way that they expected or thought, but in a new way. The fulfillment of all possibilities, that death was not the end, that life lived in the presence of Christ, and the very mention of his name will let the lame get up and walk, the blind see and the deaf hear, and set people free. It takes them a while to get there, but they do. Grace here is extended to people who believe in different ways. And from the very beginning of this story, of the resurrection stories that we will hear and see in the weeks to come, have you heard of the term neurodivergent? That we learn in different ways, right? We have different ways of encountering the world. And sometimes the labeling or frustration that we have with those among us who aren't engaged because they learn differently from us. We have spatial learners. Some people, it does nothing for them to have the teacher at the blackboard talking. They need to handle something and see how it works. For some of us, it is enough to see or hear, but not for Thomas. Thomas needed to know by touching. Thomas, I think, is extended the grace because he learns and believes differently. And isn't that a grace that we all need, to have the time and space for Christ to find us and say, here I am. I think that we are not only neurologically divergent, but we are spiritually divergent. It takes time to come up with a fully formed faith. We don't have it right away, and that's okay. The past is important. It has made us what we are and who we are. So we look to our past. It is a guide. If there is hurt, we seek healing. If there is anger, we reconcile. A commentator says this: if you need to celebrate how good it was, then celebrate. If you need to remember how great it was, then remember that. If you need to grieve, grieve. If you need to apologize or make amends, or you need to do something to make peace with how it was, then do it. Do not stay at the empty tomb, but come be among the living. There is a certain despair that sets in when we believe that things were better back then, when we're stuck back then, when we're not fully present. It would be like the star athlete who endlessly watches his best film clips instead of being active and doing something in a different way today. Or a couple married for years who long for the early years of their time together, not seeing the gifts in each other that have taken years to come to bloom. Or the parents who want to freeze frame this time in their child's life, even though it's so precious right now. But if you can let go, you can be fully present to what is. And if you can be present to what is, you will have no regrets, because you will have been there the whole time. Welcome to the week in between, for that is where we are, spiritually divergent people that we are. Welcome to this room where others are gathered, where people may be believing in different ways than we do, where the doors may even be locked, but nevertheless, where Jesus will come saying, peace be with you. For friends, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.